Hello and namaste. I'm Peter Furco, and this is Peter's podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. In today's episode, we talk about work, what it is, what's happening in the work world, work in the Bhagavad Gita, and the future of work. Joining me during my recent visit to Berlin is Julia von Winterfeld of the consulting firm called Soulworks. Her bio describes her as a digital expert, change evangelist, consultant, coach, yogini, and founder. I had the pleasure of being her teacher during Ishta teacher trainings in 2009 and 2010. Julia arranged for me to be the guest at a Soulworks lecture and meditation practice, and we made time for a lovely chat beforehand for this podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm here in Berlin with Julia von Winterfeld.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank
Excellent.
You.
Yeah, Julia is a marketing professional as well as a yoga teacher. I don't know how much you've been teaching, but I had the joy of training you as a teacher at one point. And we're going to kind of wing it, which seems to be the thing that's working the best in Peter's podcast.
Brilliant.
And but one thing I wanted to specifically do is let you talk about the projects that you're running right now.
Yeah.
So if you wouldn't mind, share with us a little about Soulworks.
Absolutely.
And about your nonprofit project.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. And it's nice that you say, having been with you and having the ability to learn yoga through yourself, I think that's taken its path and is now sort of forming sort of shaping something into what I do today, or it was at the beginning of something that is now starting to manifest today.
Because you were doing the business even when you were studying yoga, you were in the
I was in the business world, but I was very much in I would say in this working modus of doing my role, doing my job and getting things done, which I don't, I don't regret in any way. I think I like to call it today, those were my training years.
Right.
And now with Soulworks, I'm really in the moment of being able to put all of this training into play in a way that I would, I love to do.
Right.
So maybe to before I get into what does Soulworks really do, why did I start Soulworks? Having been then a, as you said, marketing professional for so long and realizing what I'm passionate about, and also realizing that the working world and how I was experiencing it isn't really what I believed it should be. That's what helped me formulate why I would want to do Soulworks. So at the end of my, let's say, working time, I was running running an agency here in Berlin. An international agency, but running Germany. And I found myself really motivated by the people that I was working with. I was motivated by the ideas that we were bringing together and helping our clients sort of to achieve great, great new things. But I was really sort of demotivated by the fact that every time I went to London to report on my numbers, it was the only thing that they were really interested in. So it was all about numbers, numbers, numbers. And if I hit my numbers, it was great. And if I didn't hit my numbers, then it was always, okay, what are you going to do? But not in a sense of what are you going to do creatively? Which people are you not going to have on board anymore? Or which clients are you going to, try and make bigger so that you get to your numbers you want? And I just suddenly realized is that really why I'm doing this, what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. Just to report and either get blown off for not hitting the numbers or to be praised if I did hit the numbers or when I did hit the numbers. So that was one dynamic that was going on in my head. And then another dynamic was I thought a lot about what does leadership really mean? And as I said, I was very motivated by working with the people that I was working with. And I got a lot of response and feedback from folks. How I was very integrated in the teams, how I was very thoughtful of how you bring teams together, and also try to just be a team player. That was sort of the feedback I was getting from folks from my bosses, it was more the feedback of, you know, you should be more assertive.
Right, be more of a boss.
Be more of a boss, and, you know, you've got to tell them what they've got to do. And I started to think about leadership and what leadership really meant, yes, for me, at least. And I put these two dynamics together and said, this is, you know, I don't want to turn out to be a leader that's only running by numbers, mm-hmm, and not really thinking about the human side of why we're here together as a team, or why we're doing what we're doing. So that's,
did you feel that from your team, that they were also in it for a more holistic view of what they were doing, or were they just like, if they would switch roles with you, they would just be about the numbers?
Yeah, no, I'm sure there were a couple that probably would, if they switched numbers, that they would then switch places, they would be running it by numbers. I wouldn't say that everyone was in this same mindset, but I would want to say that the most of the group were really there to do great stuff together, right, and to think creatively and get the best ideas out there.
You're about the project rather,
exactly,
than the,
exactly,
the payoff.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we made, some things weren't, you know, didn't work as we had hoped. Other things were fantastic, and we would, you know, sort of learn on our way as a team together. But I kind of had this pressure from above, and I thought to myself, I can't really change myself. I'm never going to be this assertive person. it's just the way I am. Yes. Maybe that's not good if I wanted to continue.
I think it's really good. I would say if I had to capsulize you in one word, like, yeah, your essence is joy.
So. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I then obviously I had a lot of process in me as to, well, what are you going to do if you step out and you've only known this world? You can't just go off and hope for doing, or hope that something will materialize with what you're doing on your own. But then I had already started to think about, as I said, leadership and what companies really should be about, over a good period of time whilst I was still in this role as a leader. And then a moment came which I didn't even anticipate, but it just happened that I was sitting there with my boss, and he then said, it was the beginning of the year, January, 10th of January, we were there to plan the year ahead, and he then just said to me, I think we need to do something radically different this year. And I responded without any, at least, anticipation of this is what was going to happen. I then said, I think what's radically going to be different is that I'm going to step out now.
Wow.
And I realized what I had then said. He also realized what I had said and was like, no, that's not what I meant. And then I said, I think that's what I mean. Little did I know that that was really the kickstarter of actually getting myself out of the situation, because right, I knew I needed to get out, but I didn't have the guts really to make it happen. So this moment just arose, and hence SoulWorks took a bit of time to get to what it then became, meaning I had the joy, the luck to then move out of this role and be out of the company within 6 weeks, and then had 6 months time, basically still being paid, to think about what is it that I really want to do. Funnily enough, I had already had the word SoulWorks in my mind, because for me, and now coming back to our time and my experience in yoga, for me, there's something very core, which is being true to yourself, and then having this opportunity to really bring out what it is that wants to be brought out of yourself. And for me, that was encapsulated with the word soul. And I felt that I had, you know, done my training. I had great experiences through the years before, but I wanted to do something in the field of work. Bring that together, so have this more soulful approach to how work needs to be.
Yeah.
And that then made sort of is the intention of SoulWorks. Today, to sort of say it in marketing speak, it is about helping companies to become more human again, helping companies to be more purposeful with what they're doing, and then realize that they need to change the way they work in order to truly surface the human side as well as the purposeful side of what they're doing.
So your clients are companies,
exactly,
not individuals. And yeah. How do you does a company have they already made such a decision and find you, or you are actually having to reach out and educate companies that this is something?
So it's both. I have sort of the luck that because I was always in my marketing days on the digital side, particularly here in Germany, particularly my last years of working in an employee state, I'm well known to be associated with digital. So that's sort of the credit that I bring, and companies are going through this sort of digitization and what do we need to change. Here in Germany, everything's like 3 years behind what's happening in the US. So they're running through this agony of what does that now mean from a process perspective or tools perspective or technology perspective. And they're also experiencing this pain of having to be more innovative in what they do. And because I'm in a way associated with digital, they're asking when they come to me, it's more about how do I do this digital transformation? Right. And that's an in way for me to then say, okay, we can talk about digital transformation, but if you want to work, if we want to work together, then it needs to be looked at holistically. I'm not about the tools. I'm not about technology. I'm about the human side of what technology can do, and how that needs to manifest itself in the company. So that's one side, but obviously I'm also doing, I wish more would come, but I'm also trying to just put myself out there, talk about what I believe in, particularly then around this more sort of human approach to working with one another, in more my points of view of how I think the future of work is different, and that we can't stay in these colossal companies, and that I don't believe that the younger generations, as we like to call them, the millennials or even the next generation, that they're really into that anymore.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of my talking about it, but I'm sort of in a way thankful that I'm not the only one that is seeing that there's something shifting in the way we need to work or the way that we can work in future.
Yeah, it's been a pet thought of mine for 20 years that, you know, this whole notion of a basic income, and now it seems almost going to be a necessity in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And then what are people doing? What even is work?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think exactly what is work, and why does work have to be defined as 5 days a week from, let's say 9 to 5, who says that that's work? And why can't work be just far more creative and maybe just 2 days a week if we have a basic income that helps us all to, you know, keep the keep ourselves on a steady base? But even money, what is
right.
money in future?
I mean,
we need that.
Exactly. I mean, yes, because right now the way that the system is organized, there is not really money for the masses. That's more and more being concentrated into these non-human entities.
Exactly.
Which gets to your Humans of New Work
project.
Yeah.
And that's a willingness to show others through individuals that there are ways of changing, I'd say, the system work, and to encourage and to give courage to others that you can, either on your own if you're more on a freelance basis, or you're starting something up as a small team, or you're in a large corporation and want to shift at least a mindset, that there are ways. So this Humans of New Work project is really an initiative to show others there are different ways of thinking about work. And it's really, it's also an exploration for us sort of to identify individuals who are thinking on similar lines, or even giving us impulses to how we should be thinking, or maybe new ideas, tools, methods.
So they're kind of case studies of people who are exploring new ways of relating to their work.
Exactly. And just case studies with the opportunity for others to to learn from or just feel associated with it.
And you're making video with them, like interviews, or how are you?
Yeah, so we're just doing interviews and then trying to keep it on a 200 character format with two quotes. Mm-hmm. Because we feel like that's sufficient to at least give insight to what this individual is doing, but also it's sufficient from a reading perspective. And then we just have, we're trying to, in a way, through our images, really, or through our photography, bring out the individual.
Right. And this is going to live where these videos are?
So they all live on a digital platform. Mm-hmm. So they're on humansofnewwork.com. We're also though now thinking about, because of the sort of the people finding it interesting or wanting to learn more about the individual, because it is apparently too short, mm-hmm. But there is interest to want to learn more.
So then it becomes marketing for those individuals.
Exactly, it becomes marketing. So now we
because you're so good at marketing.
Train too long.
Yes.
But we're sort of thinking, well, maybe we can turn this more into a community, whether it's a virtual community or whether it's a physical community is definitely a direction that we think we can help each other. So let's bring the individuals, the protagonists, to individuals who are interested in their stories and make an event out of it, so that it's not just a marketing tool for individuals, right. Or a matchmaking, let's say, platform.
Right.
So there's definitely that, but we're also knowing that you're also very interested in the arts, thinking about making at least as far as my research has gone, there's no one that's really done an exhibition on the future of work through the human side.
Right.
So we're talking to some exhibition people, how we could maybe use this content and use the individuals, obviously, in quotation marks, use, to bring that more into a showroom character.
I was just at the Volkswagen headquarters and they have an exhibition that's about digital art, so it's all this contemporary work that has a digital spin to it. Perhaps they're a contact.
That could be, that's good. And
it's a fantastic space.
Yeah. I have heard of it. I've never been there, but I've heard of it.
Well, you should come to Berlin sometime.
Yeah. Should be here and really just go visit places instead of just working here when I'm
here. That's how it always is.
I hope you're enjoying this edition of Peter's podcast. We'll get back in a minute. I wanted to invite you to become a subscriber. By that, I mean sign up to download it regularly from wherever you get your podcasts, but also to support Peter's podcast on Patreon.com. Patreon is a great funding site that lets me make this podcast without the need for product advertisements, which I think is nicer for both of us. You can subscribe there for any amount you like. I've just created a special reward called the Cappuccino. If you support the podcast for the price of a frothy coffee, your questions move to the top of my list when creating the next episode. I also have the subscriber level at $1, but you can set your own value for this information and the effort it takes to make Peter's podcast. There's a link in the show notes at peterspodcast.simplecast.fm or go to patreon.com/peterspodcast. Here's the rest of the show.
To sort of bring that also in balance, because I think there is sufficient about what digital is going to do and how digital is then, or even what kind of formats, mediums, vehicles, whether it's VR, that's being showcased a lot. That's interesting. Even music's being made now through artificial intelligence, and that's being showcased. But I don't think anyone's sort of taking the spin of, well, okay, what's that doing with us?
Right. What are people going to do here?
Yeah,
it's really fascinating. I mean, it gets you into like Star Trek territory, where there's no longer the need for money.
And
everyone just follows a passion.
Yeah.
Which sounds great.
Yeah.
If it's fundable.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm really quite surprised that I don't hear more talk about that in the mainstream politics. You know, we're still like harping on old school notions about work.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no there's more this, at least in my perception, there's more this drive to let's get the innovative models out there. What's the new business model that we can push because of technology and because of the virtual or digital world? But there's exactly no thinking about, well, what is it doing with us, and should we be thinking about work differently? All I'm hearing from large companies is, if we can do automation, and if we can, or since we are doing automation, if we can do a lot with artificial intelligence and have a learning machine do a lot of our work, well, then we're probably going to have to release, you know, so and so many people.
Right, which cuts costs and makes it's good for the corporation.
Exactly, but no one's thinking about, you know, politics isn't thinking about what are we doing with all these people then.
Right.
And I don't know where to start to bring that. You know, bring that into consciousness sort of on a larger scale.
I mean, and certainly, you know, there are areas of work that are going to grow, you know, and there's a whole alternative energy industry that could explode and that would, you know, delay some of these questions a little bit. And, but I don't know, we'll see. We're going to talk in a little while for an event that you're hosting here for me. And I noticed one of the questions was about work that we'll be talking about in the future. So I wanted to mention something about the Bhagavad Gita. And maybe see what your thoughts are on it, and later when you'll be asking me, I'll be giving my thoughts on it. You know, in this ancient text, that's basically a manual for how do you live life, given how challenging it is. You know, the premise, the setup is Arjuna is about to go to war and lead an army to kill a bunch of his relatives. You know, it's like a nasty situation, and he's asking for advice, and at one point, the Krishna, who's providing the advice, mentions just doing your work. And at the time, the historical context of this document is that the caste system was a little bit in jeopardy in India, so there was some concern about people not doing the jobs they were born into, you know. And in this example with Arjuna, he's a warrior and he needs to go be a warrior. And in the details of talking about that, Arjuna is constantly asking Krishna, well, what does somebody look like if they're doing what you're saying? You know, if you're if they're following your advice, what does that look like? What's that person look like? And in this relationship to what could most accurately maybe be called work, it's just like, do your work and let go of attachment to the outcome of the work. In other words, let the work be the thing that you do. And that's something I've been trying to do more of myself, to try to just do whatever's presented to me, you know, and not get too caught up in what's going to come of this, or picking things because of what's going to come from them, or what I hope might come from them. Just to do things, you know, make my best choices and do them. But it's, you know, obviously the corporation, as you described a moment ago, they were only interested in the outcome, you know, but what do you think about that for individuals?
I probably couldn't agree more, even though I find myself sometimes still, I find myself in a dialogue with my own self being. On the one side, things just get presented to me, and then, you know, I'll just go and do it and then see what happens next. And then I have moments where I'm thinking, okay, well, I've got to get there to be able to do this, to then materialize this. And I'm kind of wanting to get to a result.
Right.
So I,
well, you still have to know your stuff, right? I mean, you have to maybe do the job professionally.
Right. Maybe there's I always say to myself, there's an intention, just like going onto the yoga mat, there's an intention, but how it then unfolds, you'll see. But I definitely still get caught up in wanting to make something happen, right? It's got to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, nothing else can materialize. But I would hope, and I therefore completely agree, I think we just should go and do our work. And I think each one of us will find what that is our work.
Right. That's the trick too, because you could take that to mean, well, just do whatever you're doing and shut up and don't be upset about it, or don't try to move on or grow or anything like that. And I think that's not what's implied in this advice. It's, you know, live and make your best choices, but at the end of the day, you're in the situation you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
Make the best of that.
Yeah. And I think, and sort of stay, listen to what it is that you really want to do, meaning in the situation that you're then in. If, let's say, someone requests it to be this and that, but you realize, no, that's not really right for me, to be able to speak to that and say, no, I need to take this path, or I need to do this right now. And I think in the world of, let's say, corporates or more established companies, we've created this sense of, if, you know, it's top down, I tell you what to do, someone feels inferior, so they're not going to really say what they really feel or think should happen. And we've cut off that ability to really listen to yourself and then sort of do what your work is out of your own self, and not necessarily because it's being told this is what you should be doing.
Right.
And in a way, that's for me sort of one big willingness, let's say, to bring that ability back to every individual.
Right.
Without, as you rightly say, without getting into this, it's going to be something and it's going to be only this thing, but then just allowing that to work for you.
Right. And I think we're not so much trained anymore to even think about what is it that I want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people who I was sure they were going to do something or other, and then they barely even tried, and then they just started doing something else because it was available.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. I don't know if it's unfortunate. It's the way it is, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's, I mean, it sounds a little bit too easy, but I think that many of us aren't really able to connect again with our inner self, and therefore sort of this inner work of really getting to understand or learn or to experience what is it that I'm truly either passionate about, what I want to do, what I think should be working through me. I think that's been through our way that we, I don't know, even maybe schooling already, how we educate is cutting ourselves off from this ability to really listen, to be intuitive with ourselves or to be connected with ourselves, and then let ourselves be intuitive and follow our real.
Right. And what a great segue into the idea of doing yoga.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what the process of having a practice that gets you quiet does. It allows you to go inside and listen and hear those directions that are subtle and are easily, you know, shut out by activity of just like getting by during the day or trying to do what someone else is telling you to do.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And for me, that's why it's so integral, even though I'm not in a place of teaching yoga at organizations at this point, maybe, who knows, but I'm also seeing a dynamic, which I'm not sure how to respond to yet, of now this, there's a meditation kind of dynamic. Everyone's going to meditate, and you've got the apps that do the 2 minutes, 10 minute, here, you've got it. And I see people, you know, thumbs up, even I'm meditating now, and I just don't know. And maybe now I'm judging, but is that really getting the individual to the essence of how I understand and feel like I've got a long way to go still, how precious this meditation is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alan Finger and I are writing a book about meditation that's going to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
You know, because many of the hip things that are going on right now, the sort of mindfulness things are great. I mean, there's nothing to say bad about them.
No,
and I don't mean that in saying what I'm about to say, but the deeper practices of meditation are really ways to tap into your essence and to gain insight and inspiration sort of like on demand, you know, like you're setting yourself up as the whole person that you can be.
Mm.
And the mind, being mindful or being able to see a little more clearly what's going on in your thoughts, or just having a relaxation response happen that calms you down. Those are all fantastic preliminary steps on that further path toward what can be.
I feel like if we did reach that stage of or even maybe when we as individuals reach a stage of being so open through allowing ourselves to just sit and be with ourselves, then I believe that we have an even greater chance of really letting it work through you
and
providing what is of you in the context of where you are. And I sometimes, I don't know, I just feel like we're abusing things. we're taking it too. You're absolutely right. Every step is right. You know, it's so good that this level of consciousness is rising, that more and more people are having access to, let's say, meditation, or to even yoga, if you take Berlin. That's all great. And the mindfulness movement. But I sometimes feel like, are we again digitizing something? Are we again logically putting things in play?
I guess meditation you definitely want to do for the outcome of like feeling better, feeling more in tune, feeling more connected and all of that. But there is this like notion of it equals more productivity at work or something like that. And I would much rather see it more in line with what you're talking about, or it makes me a happier person.
Yeah.
You know, or it makes me feel more graceful in negotiating the challenges that are life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
But to bring that into, to bring that into the work with the question of what is work, because I think at some point work is life, and my wish is it to sort of give the ability, not I'm giving it, but to provide the ability for organizations and therewith the people in these organizations to think more holistically about themselves, and to look at not only through the what's the organization trying to achieve, why is it there, but why are you here, what is your contribution, what is it that's making you want to contribute to this, and to do to have more inner work, self sort of searching. Maybe it's too much of a wish.
I don't think so at all. I mean, I think that there's this natural progression to where that's going to be more and more possible. It's just a question of as a society, will we go there?
Mm.
If we don't, I don't know where we're going.
I sort of have this image that we're going to have, there will be like two groups of us.
Yes. Though.
I think there will still be this capitalism and this drive for bigger, better,
yes,
more efficient, more lean and digitally driven.
Right.
I think that will occur, or at least that dynamic will continue. But I think there will be a different community of more sort of, yes, how do you say it in English, sort of sociocratic, more community driven, more supportive of one another. Everyone's pitching in with what they can bring to the table, and these communities will also be able to evolve. And
continue. Like whole new ways of, and in a way, a whole new market.
Yeah.
Right, among of people doing things, and who knows what the medium of exchange will be, but it's still creating value.
Yeah.
But the value may be shared instead of sold or something.
Yeah, exactly. I think the word value is also will become more important, in that if we're doing things for a certain reason, and I think one of the big reasons will be, are we saving our planet here, or are we adding on to its deterioration in a faster way? I think we'll start to see, you know, what value are we actually bringing? You know, do I really need to do this? Does this really help not only myself to live, but also, you know, us around? So I think the word value will start to become a more, I used to say meaningful, now I would say, is it more valuable?
Right.
Meaningful, it also has to be, but is it of value to us as a society, as a on the planet overall?
Yeah. But it sounds like your yoga is serving you well.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. I as you said at the beginning, you know, how much am I teaching? I'm not teaching on an asana level. Maybe that will come again, because we now have space in Hamburg where we have two floors, and the top floor is a yoga space.
Mm-hmm.
Looks immediately like a yoga place because it just has nice energy. And my whole concept of how these spaces are being used is, I always like to call it, it's like you walk into a yoga studio. It's, you know, beautifully calm, and you know, there's nothing in the space. And then you put your props up how you need it. So if you need a table and you need to talk across the table, then you put up the table. So everything is cleared. Everything has its place, and it's, everything is very organized as well, because that's what I also appreciate, is this, in a way, mindfulness of where you put things and how you fold the blankets in a way. To be conscious of that. So that's how the space is there as well. Everything is there, what you need. You just have to put it back and put it in its place, so that whoever comes in next can use it as you want.
Nice.
But having said that, there's also the top floor is, we do use for yoga. So we have a yoga teacher coming to us. And I, you know, maybe I feel like I'll do something again at the weekend, or maybe I take an evening. But it's very close to me, and it's very, meaning it's very important to me, also from the yoga philosophy. And I think that was always, even during teacher training, was what was the most inspiring for me. I mean, I love the body part as well, but it's a bit, I just like, oh, give me more. What else can I read?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the part that sustains the body, is like the vehicle for all of that. Well, we should go out in the other room and talk more about it to our audience for the evening. But thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to hear your thoughts and hear about your project.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. Namaste.
Namaste.
That's our episode for today. Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, please consider becoming a subscriber at patreon.com/peterspodcast. There's a link in the show notes, or you can look it up online. Look forward to talking with you again. Take care.